Hello, hockey humans of the world. Welcome to Tough Call Podcast Season 3, where I talk about all the latest hits and suspensions around the NHL. Thanks to you folks, I have over 3,000 Twitter followers and over 250 subscribers to my YouTube channel, which is where you'll find my in-depth video breakdowns of the plays I cover here on the audio podcast. Just go to YouTube and search Tough Call Channel to find me there. And to get the most out of your overall Tough Call experience, the best thing you can do is follow me everywhere you can by subscribing to the YouTube channel Tough Call and leaving comments there, following me on Twitter, at Tough Call Pod, and my other account, at NHL Call. And of course, hitting the subscribe button on this Tough Call audio podcast and giving it a 5-star rating right now. Thanks very much for the support. I don't want to take the hitting out of hockey. I want to put the hockey back in hitting. Hello, hockey humans of the world, and thanks for tuning in to this bonus episode of Tough Call Podcast. First, I'd like to apologize for not putting a lot of content out in the audio format lately, but I've been very busy with my own kids involved in minor hockey. I'm a coach, and they both play, and we've been involved in playdowns, and it's been quite a hectic schedule over the last little while. And we're actually heading into our final tournament of the year this weekend. So there's been a lot going on, and things are starting to wind down as we head into the NHL playoff season. And I should be able to put more stuff out there, but I appreciate you guys sticking around and looking for that content, even though I haven't been putting it out as much as I was hoping to. But after this weekend, I should be pretty good to go heading into the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it should be a wild ride. But for this bonus episode, I'm going to talk specifically about the Austin Matthews suspension and the cross-check and all that led to it. And it's a funny incident in the sense that it actually encapsulates a lot of the things that I'm trying to say. And when you see the different opinions on it and the different comments and the feedback that I got from my own suspension video, that video has over 5,000 views on my YouTube channel, by the way. There's lots of comments. I think there's almost 100 comments on there. And that's partly what inspired this episode, is some of those comments. But go check that video out. See what I would have given them. And understand where my suspension is coming from. It's not with today's current NHL standards. It's with my own standards. I invented my own tough call system, for those that don't know, who may be just tuning into this episode because it's an Austin Matthews topic that's been hot. So what I do as Tough Call is I have developed my own system with my own suspension scale, and I apply it to the actual NHL as a real example. But it's not predicting what I think the actual Department of Player Safety should do. It's what I would do in my own league the way I would run it. And I just use the NHL as real life examples to apply my fake system to, because a lot of people have access to the NHL as opposed to minor hockey, but I would apply this system the same way across all hockey, and I think we'd be better for it. And actually, something I would like to say is, watching a lot of the minor hockey playoffs, I'm a minor hockey president, so I'm pretty invested in a lot of the different teams to see how they're doing. And I have two kids, and I have a niece and nephew who play, and I try and watch a lot of hockey. And what I find is I can't believe actually how physical minor hockey has become. That's the way I coach my kids. The level my daughter played, that when I was the head coach in, it was very, very physical. There's lots of contact and rubbing out on the boards and angling and boxing out, and I think it's fantastic. And watching the under 13 AAA league, the old peewee level, for those that might not know, it's exceptionally physical. There was actually like legit body checks in some of those games. And as much as it's kind of frustrating when you see some of the things that are let go, I like the leeway they're giving these minor hockey kids. That's what youth should be playing in, those types of standards, that type of environment, so they get used to absorbing normal contact as opposed to going through no contact and then having people be allowed to take runs like the NHL level and the junior level, where you're allowed to leave your feet, where you're allowed to headhunt. And people will say, no, the rules say you're not allowed to, but I mean, let's be real, you're allowed to. People take advantage of those rules all the time, and it's not called, and some people are out there only for the big hit. But if you play like the way these youths are playing, where the contact is for body position and for puck battles, and it's not for anything else, because they don't have that instinct right now. They're not being fed that by their coaches. Hit to kill, hit to intimidate. They don't have that. Right now, they're just using contact as a means of giving themselves the best possible opportunity to win the puck and keep the puck. That's why they're using contact. They're using a lot of contact, which is fantastic, like I said, but they're using the right kind of contact, where it's puck focused. Everything is down, it's shoulder to shoulder, it's safe along the boards, and everyone is expecting it. But they can go in knowing that the contact is controlled. That's the way it should be. You shouldn't worry about having a player legally skate all the way from the red line to your defender and paste you into the boards by leaving their feet and then crying that you turned your back, which is what happens all the time. And this ties into what I'm going to talk about with the Auston Matthews incident. Because one of the first comments I saw, which I actually agree with, on Twitter, somebody put a tweet out saying, "I hope Matthews spends the entire hearing berating the officiating." And that is 100% what he should do. And we're going to get to why in more detail. But for starters, let's talk about where this took place. The confrontation between Dahlin and Matthews was in front of the net in the crease. And in general, the treatment of forwards in front of the net has historically been abusive. Why is that area of the ice different in any way? Why is that considered a 50-50 positional battle? And why is there a phrase that exists that everybody knows that's like, well, that's what it takes to stand in front of an NHL net? And everybody knows that. And you have to go to the dirty areas and pay the price. You don't need to pay that price anywhere else. You don't need to pay the price. You have a legal right, a hockey purpose to go there and do your job, and you should be allowed to perform your job in that spot on the ice, just like anywhere else on the ice. I don't know why the rules change, where cross-checking is allowed, punching in the back of the head is allowed, pushing a player's helmet off is allowed, all in the name of, oh, that's a good positional battle, we love to see that and let the players play. That is crap. I almost said a bad word, but I can't do that on this audio podcast like I can on some of the video ones I'm on. But anyway, for whatever reason, it's different in front of the net, and it should not be, and the NHL absolutely has to crack down on how they call it. That would be one help. But let's think about this specific Matthews incident. It's not really about what Dahlin did here specifically. It may be what set him off a little bit, but really, if you were going to pick a net battle to say the officiating is horrible, is this the one you would pick as your red flag out of all the ones you've seen? Because really, Matthews stopped up in the crease, and Dahlin just really gave him a shove in the pants. It wasn't even really a legit cross-check. And then Matthews turned and came back at him with a cross-check. So yeah, Dahlin got to stick up a little bit to try and protect himself, and they were both kind of just protecting themselves. But it happens. And then because Matthews cross-checked Dahlin in the arm, he gave him a few shoves to the chest and the face. As happens. Now, would I call it? Maybe. I would probably call one penalty there for interference, maybe, or a little bit of roughing if you want. But then Matthews gets up and literally leaves his feet and drives his stick into the player's face. There is nothing that Dahlin did that warranted that kind of reaction. So if you're going to come at me here and use that as an example to say, well, if they had just called the first one, that wouldn't have happened. No, that doesn't fly with me. Matthews completely overreacted, if you're going to look at what Dahlin did specifically. But what this is weeks and months worth of frustration. It's just like CTE, where you can get brain damage from multiple little headshots as opposed to one big one. That's what this is. This is Matthews exploding because of multiple little shots, like what Dahlin did. What he did was not so bad, but it wasn't ideal. It's frustrating, but it wasn't the worst to trigger this. But what it was the one of many over and over again over the past few weeks, especially for Matthews, where he's not getting the calls and he's finally just snapped. He's just lost it. That's what it's about. When you say Matthews has a right to defend himself and you're glad he did it and it's about time and it's nice to see that life in him, I get it, but let's apply that phrase appropriately to say that it's about a year's worth of things like this. If you want to say that about, yes, Dahlin had it coming, no. I had a person comment and say, are we just going to pretend the Buffalo player didn't deserve it? I'm not pretending he didn't deserve it. He didn't deserve it. Can you admit that at least? He did not deserve it. What he was a representation of all that is wrong with the league, and Matthews took it out on this one player. But this one player, no, he did not deserve it. But However way you want to justify it, maybe it is good that Matthews did this. Maybe Matthews was due to have this outburst, and it's about time he stood up for himself. But even at that, don't say he shouldn't be suspended. And I know a lot of Leafs fans are actually sensible about this, and they say, yeah, he should be suspended. They're just upset because many people that have done the exact same thing haven't been suspended. And I get that. But we have to stop saying people shouldn't be suspended just because someone else wasn't suspended. What we should be saying is, yes, he should be suspended, but so should all those other people. And you should be mad that they're not suspended. You shouldn't be mad that your player was. Look at it that way. But even I'm of the opinion that maybe Matthews should do this. Maybe it was worth it. Maybe he had a right to explode and cross-check this guy in the face. Like I said, it wasn't about this player. He didn't have a right to hit this particular player, but maybe he needed to hit somebody as a protest for all that is wrong with the NHL. And I can get behind that. But I still think he should be suspended for it. I just think maybe the suspension was worth it. Maybe he knew he was going to get punished, but he did it anyway. And that's fine with me. If you want to say that you had enough and you just snapped, just say it though. Just say it. Don't say you were aiming for the shoulder and you missed. Admit that everything is wrong right now and you don't appreciate it and that's why you did it and it's nothing personal against Dahlin. Just say there's a problem with the system. Take the fine and just say it. If enough players do it at the same time, they have to listen. Of course, the funny thing about this is he could have avoided the suspension altogether and just dropped his gloves and fought him. If you're that mad, fight. That's what fighting is for, isn't it? You're listening to me say somebody needs to fight, and I'm against fighting, and I don't think fighting has a place. That's because it's not used properly. Drop your gloves and fight the guy. Fight the NHL by dropping your gloves and punching this guy to a pulp and saying that's what you have to do and you shouldn't be forced to do it. That's supposed to be what fighting is for. If there was ever a reason for a fight that justifies it, according to the code, this would be it to me. You're doing that to me, I'm a star player, I'm going to drop the gloves with you, or somebody's going to drop the gloves with you. But I think deep down we all know that makes no sense. Because, first of all, no, it wouldn't stop Dahlin from doing the same thing the next shift. That's how you play defense. We talked about that. That's how you have to play defense in front of your own goalie. If he hadn't pushed Matthews away, he would have lost his job. This is how you're supposed to play. So this becomes about the deeper issue of having a choice. When people argue for fighting, they say, well, players have a choice not to fight. So if players do choose to fight, they know what they're doing. They know what they're up against. So let them have the option. And if they don't want to, they just choose not to fight. But you're forcing someone into fighting here. So let's look at Matthews. If he fights, he gets hurt, that's a problem. It's not worth it for him to fight. He's a superstar player. The MVP of the league, apparently. So if he drops the gloves and gets himself hurt, that's pointless. He shouldn't have to fight. But he is saying, I need to cross-check someone in the face in order to play the way I need to play because the officials aren't helping me out, so I need to take care of business myself. So in essence, he doesn't have a choice. He has to choose to fight or do something that's suspension-worthy in order to get his way. And everyone is proud of him for doing it, and we say it's worth it, and even I think it's worth it. But he shouldn't be forced to do that. So no, he doesn't have a choice. He has to act out one way or the other, either with his stick or with his fists. And that's absolutely ridiculous. But look at it from Dahlin's point of view too. All he's doing is his job. But we're saying, no, it's Matthews. You can't do that. If you hit a star, you better expect to pay the consequences. But that's his job. He has no choice but to do his job. So specifically to what Dahlin did, he really just did his job, and it's not worth it for someone on the Leafs to jump him or challenge him because he didn't do anything that wrong. But it's essentially forcing Dahlin to fight, and of course someone inevitably says, like I said, you don't do that to a star like Matthews unless you're willing to back it up. So basically he has no choice. He has to do his job against opponents, star players or otherwise. So let's really spell out what you're actually saying. Is just because it's Matthews, he's not allowed to do his job. If he does his job, he'd better be prepared to fight. So no, he doesn't have a choice. Not a choice you'd respect anyway. He either doesn't defend against Matthews the way he's supposed to, and then you make fun of him for that, or he does defend against Matthews, somebody comes and takes a run at him and challenges him to a fight, and he doesn't accept, and now he's a coward. So tell me where he has a choice there. But Matthews should be allowed to defend himself, and that's where we come back to how sometimes a suspension is worth it. But is what Dahlin did worth taking the suspension? Absolutely not. As I said, it's a culmination of the systemic problem of not calling the rule book consistently. And we all want that, right? We all want the rule book called consistently. Out of all this, the excuses for Matthews is He needs to do that because he was being abused and nobody was protecting him. The officials aren't protecting him, so he has to protect himself. And yet somehow, I've had people say that I need to calm down and the 10 games I would have given Matthews is crazy and I need to go watch ballet and stay away from contact sports. Then the argument is, well, if they call the game the way it should be, players shouldn't have to do this. So you can't punish them when they do. But I want to punish all players when they do things. I want the rule book called consistently. I want them to come down harder on checks and shoves to the face and things like they did in front of the net here that caused Matthews to blow his top in the first place. When I want that to stop, apparently I'm also told I'm ruining the game. Well, if we'd have called it all the right way, Matthews wouldn't have snapped. But then when I say, oh, well, maybe we should give Darlene a penalty for that, you're like, what? Are you crazy? That's just a standard net battle. You're going to ruin the game. What are you trying to sissify the sport here? But as soon as something happens and somebody gets punished for doing something, well, no wonder they were abusing him and taking advantage of him. Well, that's what I'm trying to get rid of. So pick a lane. Which one is it? My system, the one that so many real hockey fans, old school hockey fans, who hate the so-called new hockey, the quote-unquote woke crowd, who want to quote-unquote pussify the sport. My system would take care of all that. My system that they reject as ruining the game because I want to eliminate all those net front battles that are pointless and abusive, really. And I want to eliminate all the boarding and the checking from behind. Well, that's just me softening the game, according to them. But then when it happens to one of their players, they think their player has a right to defend themselves and snap to the death because all of that stuff is just outrageous and completely unfavored towards their star player. So their star player has a right to snap on somebody. But when I want to call it against everybody consistently across the board, no, that's too far. We can't get rid of that. We might as well have no checking at all. So I'm sorry, but 70% of you hockey fans have no idea what you want. It's very frustrating that you think I'm ruining the game when you guys don't even know what the game's supposed to look like. And of course, all this becomes moot anyway when we hear Matthew's argument where he said he was aiming for the shoulder. How can you say that? Just admit that you got frustrated, you lost your temper, and you took it out on someone. And say there's a problem with the league and you shouldn't have to do that, but you feel like you have to. Say all of that. Don't give me some crap that you were trying to hit him in the shoulder. Own what you did. I can't believe Kevin Bieksa was on national television saying the same thing. Well, it looked like you wanted to hit him in the shoulder. Do you jump in the air? Do you leave your feet and drive your stick forward at head height if you're trying to hit someone in the shoulder? I don't think so. And I always come back to, if you were trying to hit him in the shoulder, is that any better? If you hit the shoulder so high that your stick has the opportunity to glance off the shoulder and ride up into the neck head area, isn't that just as bad as going for a direct headshot? You're not doing yourself any favors. Matthews already gave him a cross check in the arm. Do that again. Hit him in the arm. Hit him in the waist. Don't hit him in the chest or the neck or the head and then cry when you make direct head contact and say, well, I was trying to aim lower. If you were trying to aim lower, get him lower. If you try and aim lower and you get the head, pay the consequences. Now, the point of all this is that my system demands consistency from the officials. It demands a standard from the Department of Player Safety, where we're wondering why Matthews got 2 games when a lot of people get a $5,000 fine for the same thing or nothing, and it's not even called a penalty on the ice. You guys want consistency from that? Well, my system gives that. By being consistent at snuffing these things out before they escalate to this point. So how is that ruining the game when you think the game is ruined already and yet they continue to do things the way you want them to by letting some of this stuff slide and keeping this stuff in the game the way you want, the way you demand? You gotta have a bit of the rough stuff. You gotta have the fighting. It's not controlling anything. It's not helping anything. Let's try it a different way. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Tough Call Podcast. At Tough Call, I'm not trying to pick on individual teams or players. I want to make the game safer for every player on every team across the league and at every level with no player left behind. I want to cover as many incidents as possible and promote using harsher penalties and player education to meaningfully reduce instances of head contact in hockey. I already get a lot of help from people like you who send me clips or links to incidents or even just a quick tweet or something saying, hey, did you see that? Third period, Bolts-Habs game, checking from behind, something like that. So if you're ever watching a game and you see something questionable or even a good clean check, because I want to promote those as well, send it my way. And don't forget to subscribe to the Tough Call YouTube channel. Find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and be sure to subscribe to this podcast right now and give it a 5-star rating. Together, we can put the hockey back in hitting.